everyone. This is a this is 372 pages. This is a Patreon extra. This is something I don't think we've done. This is the 27th of March. The Oscars are tonight, and we're predicting that something strange will happen at the Oscars. And we just want to get ahead of it. This is obviously the day of.
We're going to predict it. We're going to post it a day later.
Yes. This is, I'm Michael J. Nelson, and of course, Connor is on the other end. How are you, Connor?
I'm good. It's been a distracting day, to say the least. I've been consumed by takes and the take economy and just puzzling out what on earth happened last night. So it's good to
know. Yeah, the take economy is hard. It is weird. Like, I mostly avoid it. I don't have a thing that opens up on my computer and says, here's what you're going to be concerned about today.
Yes. Yeah.
I generally go my own way on those things. However, somehow this penetrated the Mike Nelson shield immediately. I don't know what it was. Look back and maybe it was a text from a friend or something. Anyway, of course, explain the hot take and the take that we're going to do, because ours is for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about the Oscars, so we're talking about the incident where Will Smith approached the stage and slapped Chris Rock, which I agree. It penetrated my sphere and my realm of caring, unlike any bit of celebrity gossip I could remember recently. I was on the phone with people at like 11:45 last night.
I'm trying to think of anything else that did that, and there's very few things for me, you know, like that people like call me like, did you see this?
So what happened? Did someone alert you in the moment? Because I assume you were not watching the Oscars.
I was not watching the Oscars. So it was in the morning right as I awoke. And I usually am up pretty early. Not I'm not one of those weirdo 5 a.m. people who then go to the gym for 2 hours.
Sure.
I'm a normal human being. I'm kidding. I have friends who do that. It was just like turn on the computer and somehow the computer just knew
right
to like poke me in the eye.
Started
go,
shooting
you,
out
you
ticker
must.
Tape. Like that was weird. Like,
yes,
why did you
like,
have that USB plug in?
And there was a guy with a cigar and a monocle next to me going, what's it saying? What's it saying?
His cigar kept dropping out of his mouth every time. And he was,
did anyone slap anyone at the Oscars? You got to let me know. Come on, kid. So that's how it went for me. Yeah. But how'd it go for you?
We were watching the Oscars for the first time in recent memory.
Wait, hang on. Let me take a gigantic sip of my Slurpee here and then tell me again what you were doing
last
night.
We were sitting
night.
And watching the Oscars on our couch for the first time in recent memory. Yeah, I slept through the whole Warren Beatty thing. I woke up the next morning to see that and was like, maybe this will bury this whole, you know, albatross of a thing we have to pretend to care about. But I don't know why. I think it was because like their March Madness games had been duds earlier, so I was like, you know, just keyed up to watch something.
Sure.
And then I was watching it, and it was one of those things where it felt as surreal as because I thought it was fake initially, and then my cousin on our family chat was saying that she thought it was real, and I was just thrown back to the only other thing I could remember that was, I think it was like 2004. I was like waiting to go to a party, I think, and that all my friends were at, and I was at home alone.
Home alone?
Yes, I was home alone, okay. And then some guys broke in, and I torched them with the flamethrower. It was very weird.
Of course.
But I was, you know, I was intoxicated, and that was the night that the Pacers were playing the Pistons, the Malice at the Palace, and so I was watching that in the background, and all of a sudden they started going into the stands, the players, and punching people. And it was one of those things where, you know, Twitter didn't exist. There was nothing to do, nothing to talk to. And I was sort of looking around, wondering if I was in the Truman Show. And, like, this was all just, you know, right, beaming only into my TV because there was no one to, like, be, like, confirmed that I wasn't crazy. And that's what it felt like last night a little bit.
Yes. And because it cut out for the also, yes, right, the American version cut out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was quite disorienting. And then it cut out during Will Smith's unhinged speech, you know, that it cut to like a weird, like, you know, technical difficulties logo like they have on The Simpsons, and then it cut to the,
yeah,
Williams sister sitting in the stands. Very, very disjointing. And all just the what also was weird was that just no one acknowledged it, you know, like I think Puff Daddy might have said something like, you know, essentially like a, so that just happened. But then the rest, sure, of the show went off as if that was done. And I was like, can you imagine, like, if this happened you know, at a best man toast, like, type of thing. Like, yes. And then the rest of the wedding just had to, like, pretend like, you know, that it was just the maid of honor gets up to say something after that. It doesn't acknowledge that someone was just slapped. It was incredible.
It's the equivalent of the urban legend of the, you know, I was at the wedding where the bride turned around at the moment of the vows and said, well, I will vow now to never forgive my husband for sleeping with my
right
with my first maid. And I've heard that story from so many people who've been at that wedding.
Right. Wow. But yes. But yeah. And then just a disorienting experience, and like rats at a feeder, you know, hitting the button for more and more like dopamine hits of like theories or jokes and stuff like that. So like I said, people called me as I was getting ready to go to bed, but someone did reach out with a story that I think is what we wanted to get on here and discuss.
Yes, this is the point. We're not here to give a hot take. Connor and I were talking about the Rift Rack staff could easily sit down and reel off hundreds of jokes, of which some of them I would even be proud of, but that's not the point.
Right.
The hot takes are burning up the internet. The internet is melting down right now. It is molten hot.
Right.
But we have an entirely different take.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you my hot take.
Okay.
All right. Now edit that out, because that's way too hot to even share with anybody. That
okay. That was too hot.
I do have a few, but I just it's not even worth vocalizing here. I'll share them with you off the air. Within minutes of this, I was receiving texts from people, and one of them said, I have now a new favorite slap ever. Like, it's bumped the time Connor got slapped out of my number one spot. This just happened.
Okay. All right. Let that sink in, everyone. It was, I don't know how many years, but I assume since as a friend and given your age, it's at least a decade since
it's
a slap that dominated this person's life.
So a friend texted me and another friend. The friend who initiated the text was not there. The other friend on the list was there in person. So I think, you know, this guy, this slap looms large for him, even though he wasn't there. And it was close to 23 years ago.
Okay. All right. You have a sketchy history with your friends and remembrances in terms of Wu-Tang Clan.
Sure, yes. Well,
yeah, well, that's an entirely different, that is the hottest of hot takes.
I'm
glad, we'll do that later.
I'm glad that comes to mind. They will be delighted by the fact that you remembered that. But no, this is well remembered. It was well documented initially, even though it was, you know, in a bar outside of Columbia University. It was called the Abbey Pub, and it was well known for letting underage college students go in there and drink. I don't know if it's still operational, but we would go in there, and it's probably the last place that I ever had a Long Island iced tea.
Wow. Okay, this is going back a while. I love the fact that you say that this slap was well documented.
Well,
so I can't wait to pull up the documents that relate to this.
Well, I later said like that I was trying to think of all the moments in my life that I wish were captured on video, and you know, this is probably a top 10 one.
Oh, God,
it's not, but it was
so good.
The story was
the
told
set up for this is so good.
Soon all after. Right, so go. Here it was. We were freshmen in high school, and me and two friends were driving up to Dartmouth from University of Virginia to visit another friend who was there. And so that's probably 11, 12 hours in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the way, I don't know, that's just a long time to just be in the car with people, just cabin fever type of things. And people just sort of started to bicker at each other or just, you know, get on each other's nerves. On the drive back, we stopped in Manhattan to go to visit some friends at Columbia. And before that, we had been meaning to stop off. I wanted to stop off at Yale University to visit the girl I took to prom, which, you know, this was only months earlier. The guy that goes on to slap me did not want to make that trip. And at some point in time, so this is 1999, I had printed directions from Dartmouth to Yale, a little Ivy League tour. And I was like, hey, like we probably got a turn coming up. We're approaching Connecticut or whatever. And he's like, I can't find the directions. And the guy in the back seat, like after 10 minutes of this charade, like tapped me on the shoulder and like sort of sighed and handed me the directions. And he told me that the guy in the driver's seat had at some point in time when I wasn't paying attention turned around, passed him the directions and sort of gave him a conspiratorial nod to, like, hide this. I don't want to go to Yale.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So the tensions were high after that. She was like probably off put by us just showing up at her doorstep. But that's beside the point. But anyway, that's the tensions had escalated at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Abbey Pub, several Long Island iced teas in. He starts talking about another friend. I don't want to use names. He starts talking about another guy who is another friend from UVA who is considering like transferring to go like be at school, another school with his then girlfriend, now his wife. And I was like, oh, that would suck. I really hope that guy doesn't leave school. And and he starts to be like, well, like, you know, he's doing it for love, man. And I was like, yeah, but like, my experience would be lessened at school if my friend wasn't here. And he said, I believe the line that set everything off is he said, well, who are you to question their love? Which, you know, this is not a good conversation. Anything that will involve that statement is not going well.
Yeah, but you're, you know, again, third Long Island iced tea?
Yes. I mean, you know, it was probably 3 a.m. and, you know, you were 19, so things were... it's not like, yeah. I had been had a history of being, like, knowing that I could put away 3 Long Island iced teas and carry on a debate.
Sure.
And I realized last night after talking about this that my response to who are you to question their love was to adopt that SpongeBob meme, you know, where SpongeBob is sort of bent over and the text that accompanies that is all camel cased. So it's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's I
like,
do.
So it would be like, who are you to Sadly. Question their love? So in his face, I started doing the, well, who are you to question their love?
Oh, my.
And I think that just went on for a little while. And then he stood up, he reared back, slapped me across the face.
Wow.
And then he said, the words that followed were immortal because, you know, the third guy in the car, the guy he had handed the directions to, was sitting there watching all this, like, jaw dropped. The guy who slapped me said, I'm sorry I tried to slap you. And then he turned and he walked out of the bar.
How many Long Island iced teas was the slapper?
I think they were just, you know,
same amount.
Yeah. No, like, no one was keeping their wits about them. It was just, that's what you did. It was college. We were visiting people. It was, in a bar. You didn't know what you were doing. And then we didn't see him till the next morning, I think, when, you know, we gathered together and drove the 7 more hours in the car back to UVA.
were those as icy? Or was it sort of like, what was that? Or, you know, was there sort of like, you know, Saving Private Ryan after a battle where you're just like, I don't know what that was.
I think that was it. It was just sort of the aghastness. Like, we didn't go to a high school where, like, you know, fights happened where anything like that would have ever happened. It was probably like the first, like, you know, hand to face blow that, like, anyone in that table had ever witnessed.
Wow.
But I don't remember, you know, that's the part of the story that has been, you know, told and retold. So it's the drive back. I don't necessarily remember. I'm guessing it was probably not like a, getting back to UVA and being like, so yeah, let's just get lunch tomorrow. It was probably like, I'll see you when I see you.
Oh boy. Wow. So these are accomplished people, obviously, your friends. And so is this on a blog anywhere? Can we read any other different versions of this story? This would make, you know, this would make some ripples.
You should, we should dial in my, the other friend. That would be a very good Rashomon experience for how he was going to retell this.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Why don't we see if
just
we can
make it another mini? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you should talk to him about that. It would have never been documented. I did have a camera with me, but I don't think it was rolling at that point in time.
Why would it be?
Yeah. In a bar.
This is my third Long Island iced tea. So I'm going to start rolling right now and we'll see what happens.
Right. The proprietors are like, listen, we're going to serve you with this obviously fake ID, but no cameras. Yes. We're going to draw the line here. But so the point of the whole thing was that was 23 years ago, a man slapping another man, and it was still, yeah, something that was, you know, told or alluded to, like, you know, once a year, or if there was other slaps happening. And so the fact that happened in front of however, you know, many tens of millions of people watched the Oscars was that's going to probably define these two people for the rest of their lives.
That is that's pretty good. That it unfortunately it took Will Smith and Chris Rock to Bigfoot your slap to the where it's like, okay, finally something. I think I've told on this podcast. Not this might not be for the larger audience. When I was punched at the wedding,
uh-huh. I think it might have been on the Patreon. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But then you were asked to leave. Correct.
I was asked to leave, and the pieces of my broken glasses were thrown out of the door, like with a hand came out and went, like, "Here you go." And I was riding with other people, so I had to sit outside and like sort of snap the pieces of my glasses back together, and then look in the window and go, "Hey, man, when are we gonna go soon?" And they're like, "We're having a blast." Okay, it's cold.
But the main takeaway I had, and the reason that it seemed so fake to me initially, was that Chris Rock, barely reacts. You know, he rolls. I mean, he's a professional. He's probably used to heckling, not slapping, heckling. But
yeah, physical stuff. That's what to me made it seem fake, because the original thing that I looked at looked like a Hollywood punch.
Yeah, like a high school theater, how you wind up and do that type
use
of thing.
You use the meaty parts of your fingers. You don't involve any. You keep your wrist loose, mm-hmm. so you don't cause any. Yeah, it looked like one of those. Like, oh, weird.
But having been slapped unexpectedly, the shock of what has just happened is the preeminent thing, and I think that sort of adrenaline takes over, because you can't just believe what has happened. You know, like that's sort of supposed to happen if you've offended a wealthy dowager at a party or something like that. Like, it's not supposed to be the well agreed upon thing of telling jokes on a stage about incredibly wealthy celebrities in the audience, even if they are potentially hurtful or referencing 30-year-old Demi Moore movies.
Yeah, it's kind of supposed to be like your Mankiewicz. And did you see that movie about Mank? Like, he's always drunk, and it's Gary Oldman or whatever getting slapped at parties, like, "Mank, you are a yes. you're a cad," like,
yeah,
"Oh,
exactly.
She's doing it again, is she?" You know, like, I'm used to this crap.
Right, he deserves it, he knows he does.
Yes.
But yeah, when it just comes out of the blue, shocking. I think it's just sort of a type of thing, and then you start to laughing about it or getting angry about it once you've had time to process, and the person has stormed out of the room or won a Best Actor Oscar.
Right. I was put in mind of I've trod the boards. I have been on the stage. I have been slapped. I have been slapped by people, and you're coached into slapping them, like I said. But it's not always perfect, and there are many times where someone has slapped or punched me on the stage where it hits like the side of your ear or something, where it's like, holy shit, I can't hear anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like, you caught me, man. And you kind of like try to signal it with your eyes to the other person, like, how dare you? And then all of a sudden, like, I really, I'm in pain here. So Chris Rock, to his credit, if he caught any of the fingers like on his ear or anything, was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he came right back. Yeah. So I got to give it to him.
Yeah. I think more than anything, I wanted someone else to acknowledge it. And I, in my heart, I knew that he would probably be never asked to speak at one. But if the late Norm MacDonald had been somehow a presenter later on in the show, I'm sure they would have just, do not go out there and say, like, pretend, yes. And he would have been the one person that might have had the guts to go out there and, deliver the greatest one-liner in Oscar history, probably.
Yeah, right. He would have had six jokes loaded up. Five of them would have been like, oh, and he would have delighted. Wow. Okay. So, that's a pretty exciting extra. As we have the two most famous slaps in the world, are the one that happened last night, mm-hmm. and the one that happened 23 years ago,
1999, so. Probably October, Abbey Pub, Columbia University. If you were there, if you just have a video that you've always wondered, like, why someone was getting slapped in the background of your friends getting sang "Happy Birthday" to or something, like, now you know who it was.
Can I add the final? This is just a non sequitur. Well, no, it is a sequitur. I guess, is when I worked at a restaurant that served a lot of Long Island iced teas. People would say, "Can I?" And I want that a Long Island diet. And as you know, the Coke that it is there for color, correct?
I mean,
it's three shots of liquor, and then it's like I don't know Grand Curacao or so, like something sweet, and then it's like you know simple syrup
sure to make it look like iced tea, like
yeah. But then at the very very top, they would squirt the Coke, and the people would ask for diet, and then so the person would make this gigantic drink of like 1,000 calories. And then spray the co- and they would go, was that diet? And they go, no. Wow. And they like dump the drink down the drain.
Shift drink.
And start over.
Not even the dogs out back will take this, sir.
It made me laugh so much. Like, really? Really? Like the person cares. I asked for diet.
I asked for
literally like 3 grams of Coke just for coloring. But
wow.
Anyway.
All right. Well, any 18-year-olds out there, make sure that they're pouring you the correct amount of soda or diet soda into your drink when you get it.
Long Island iced teas and 23-year-old slaps. It's for the kids. We're trying to build a new audience.
Yes, absolutely. So. All right. Well, we'll see if we can track down someone for the alternate retelling, and then we'll present you with
let's,
that if we're able
let's
to.
Let's rush them on this as soon as we can.
Okay.
All right. So long,
thanks, everybody.
Okay. So if you're listening this far, we did track down someone involved in the story, if you're still listening. And I think it's fascinating. And what follows is an interview with someone who witnessed the exact same events as promised. And so this happened literally half an hour after we got off the line here. So let's listen to this. Okay.
Well, it's nice to meet you. I appreciate you doing this, especially on short notice. And I'm on tenterhooks waiting to hear the story here from a different perspective.
So we just recorded me telling it, and then I was like, well, we should just have you cop on and see how different it sounds in your eyes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Do you just want to walk him through it, Mike? I mean, I don't... I'll interject if I feel like I'm being wronged.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. I was just sent the... let's see, the photo. Can I pull up the photo?
Oh yeah.
Is it at a gas station? Is that where I was seeing it? So all right. So let's go through. This is Rashomon. We heard the story from a certain point of view. Okay, good. Now he's putting it up live.
Oh, look at those guys. Look at those trustworthy recounters.
Look at the gas price.
All right. So I don't know. Let's just take the story from the beginning of you. You traveled up from UVA, right, to go to various colleges. So why don't you just take the narrative over and tell us the story? And please, if you can really lean hard on Connor, no, do whatever.
So we went to Connor. I mean, you can help me with some of this. Because so we went to, I remember we went to Dartmouth and Columbia and Yale, was that right? And I think we went to Dartmouth first, right?
Yeah, that was our depart. You came to UVA from UNC, and then we drove to Dartmouth in a day, I think.
Yes, I drove up from UNC, then we went from UVA to Dartmouth, and it was you, me, and Justin. And Justin, I never really even knew very well. Like Justin, you know, I knew him through you and through other people.
Even though we went to the same high school.
Right. So we went to the same high school, but you guys were closer friends than I ever was with Justin. So this trip was like the first, like this was definitely the most time I had ever spent with Justin. The first time I had probably really hung out with him much at all. Uh-huh. And I remember, I don't really remember him being at Dartmouth for a time at Dartmouth. I remember you, me, and Peter hanging out and listening to Lou Reed's Heroin.
Watching Winamp visualizations.
Yes, exactly. Because Peter was like, look how well this Winamp visualizer lines up with Lou Reed's Heroin.
So I love the fact that someone has a theory about that. You see how it actually makes sense, man?
Yes.
The visualizations, they didn't just like put it in as random. It makes sense.
No, it was like, you know, the big booms line up perfectly. And it was like, yeah, well, that's what the thing does. And then I remember thinking, like, is Peter on heroin? Like, is this some like message of like that he's in distress at Dartmouth and here by himself? I mean, I didn't think he was on heroin, but I was like, is he okay listening to this song?
How often does he do this when we're not here?
Right, exactly. And so I don't even remember Justin being there for that part. But then we went to, I remember going to Columbia, and we were at Columbia. And I remember we hung out with Maxine and some other friends of ours. I don't even remember exactly what we did, but I remember very clearly we went, there was one bar near the campus that would serve underage people.
Yeah, because we were 18.
Yes. And all of our friends, you know, we had a few friends that went to Columbia. And so they all went to this bar where they would serve us. And I clearly remember, and it's, well, and so let's think. So I don't remember a lot of tension between anyone at that point. I don't remember a lot of tension like between you and Justin or between me and Justin.
Well, just to get the story straight, we had been to Yale before this.
Oh, we went to Yale before that.
Yeah, on the way to Columbia, I think.
Because there was one time in the story, which was my favorite part of the whole trip, in addition to the slap, which you had mentioned the other yesterday.
Parenthetically, in addition to the slap.
The second
okay,
highlight.
So good. All right, good.
So we were in the car. I remember Connor was driving and Justin was in the driver's seat, and we had printed out directions because it was, you know, the days of like you.
Oh, guys, this is good because this story is lining up now. So now we have little tacks, we have little pins to the strings to the pictures where we actually have some truth is being told here, it would seem. So all right, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd also like to call attention to the fact that we're talking about Winamp visualizations and printed MapQuest directions. MapQuest, like,
yeah. Again, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. Yes, the kids, yes, love this.
So we had to look up the directions on MapQuest before we left, and we had printed those out on a piece of paper, and you were driving and Justin was in the passenger seat and I was in the back. And soon after we left, Connor said, okay, I need the directions to get to Yale. And Justin very quietly and sneakily turned around and was handing me a folded piece of paper, like back into the back seat, and like looked at me and then just kind of nodded. And I grabbed the piece of paper and I opened it, and it was the directions to Yale. I think it was the directions to Yale, right? It was the directions to wherever we were going.
Yeah.
With the clear implication of like, don't tell Connor.
Spike this. Yeah. Spike this.
Yeah. Like, don't let Connor know where we're going or how to get there. And so I was just like, so where does he think we're going to go? Like, where does right, he gonna go? Yes. Like, does he think I'm not going to, like, I wanted to be like, what is your alternative right now? Like, where are you proposing we go instead of the plan that we had? And then of course, like, he thinks that I just wouldn't tell you that I had the directions, or like wouldn't immediately say, here are the directions Justin just handed to them.
Right.
Like,
again, someone that you said you had not spent any time with before.
Yes. Right.
I would also like to point out, for just, this is just for our listeners, so please allow this, is that this comports with Connor's story, which is shocking to all of us. And so I'm just, you guys did not collude before. This is the story recounted 23 years after the fact. So I'm just pointing that out for, you know, for continuity's sake, and then you can go on.
And so he, so I was very unclear why he thought I would have any kind of allegiance to him in this scheme to get us to drive God knows where instead of where we had all previously agreed upon going, which is why I thought this was after the slap, because I thought there was like so much craziness. I thought this was fallout from the slap that like I had to choose a side.
It could be. It could be. But
but I don't know.
I think he wanted to not go to Yale. I mean, I'll let you tell the story. I think he wanted to not go to Yale so he could just get to New York faster, because we were going to Yale to see someone that like only I really wanted to go see.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. So that was before the slap. I mean, that's amazing to me that there was this kind of subterfuge taking place before the slap.
So you thought that this occurred after the slap?
Yes. I thought this was like post-slap follow-up. Like, okay. Yeah, like this was just like, you know, a big fight happening that had carried over.
I'm just looking at a map here, and this is fascinating for everyone in do this, but like Yale is on the way to New York from Hanover, New Hampshire. It's like a straight shot down 91. Okay, so it has to be. Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay. Then
it also makes for a great podcast to say that I'm looking at a map. And so this is okay. We're doing great, guys.
I'm looking at my printed directions here.
Yes. Okay, so then the night in question, you know, so there was a bar near Columbia that would serve underage people. Our friends that went to Columbia.
Could you name that bar, please, just in case we have underage friends out there who would like to go to that bar?
God, I hope it's still there. It was right by like the papaya hot dog place, right?
Yeah.
Stairs. It was like very like wood panel-y and cool. I can't remember what it was called.
I remember what it was called. I talked about it in my second. It was called the Abbey Pub.
Yes.
And it looked, now I don't know if that's still available, but
oh my God.
All right. So we don't have to black out that name. Are we to, you know, we just like
permanently close.
They allegedly served underage people. They were never convicted of serving underage people. They made a great Long Island iced tea. So we're only saying positive things about them. They
closed
can't
in 2018.
Okay. All right. Well, we're safe then. Go ahead and say anything.
Sad. So I remember we were there and we were with a couple of our friends that went to Columbia and a couple people from our high school that I guess Justin knew and you guys knew that I didn't know very well, but they were nice. And we sat, I remember sitting across. So I was sitting across from you. You were like across from me a little bit to the left. Justin was across from me a little bit to the right.
It's like JFK.
This is like back and to the left. All right.
And I don't remember, shockingly, I don't remember who else was at the table. My only memory of it was you two, like ingrained in my mind. The subject of two of our friends that were dating in high school came up. And I don't, can I name those names? Should
sure.
I leave those?
Yeah, what do we care? This is all okay. This is all satire.
Okay.
This is satire.
So Connor was talking about our friends Tom and Kara, who went to high school with us and then went to separate colleges. And Justin was also good friends with both of them. And Connor was expressing extreme skepticism that they would remain together romantically. And Justin said, he either said, don't judge their love or don't mock their love, which I agree. I thought was also a little histrionic, a little over the top. And we had all been drinking, you know, and Justin, so Justin said, don't judge their love. And then Connor leaned forward closer to Justin and did the like, head from side to side, neener, 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 like kind of face. And then Justin slapped the hell out of him. Justin like slapped him really hard. And I remember being like, holy cow, like this is crazy. And then I remember Connor was completely astounded. Mm-hmm. And Justin seemed pretty sheepish. And I remember Justin looked down and then it was pretty quiet, like in the middle of this roaring bar. And then Justin said, I remember Justin just was quiet for a minute. And Justin said, Connor, I'm sorry I tried to slap you. And I don't think I said anything, but I clearly remember thinking, you didn't just try to slap him, dog. Like, you slapped the hell out of him. Like, what do you mean you tried to slap him? And so I think Connor may have said something about that part. And then Justin, I remember, got really quiet again and he looked down and I think he got up and walked away. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I looked at each other and just went, what the fuck? Like, and then
this comports with Connor's story. This is good.
And then very quickly, I remember thinking like, oh my God, we have a long drive ahead of us, like very soon. I don't know this guy very well. Like, Connor's my guy. Like, how is this going to go? Which is why I thought the direction keeping hiding happened after. And then that's all I really remember. Was that the same trip that you and or Justin together drank a bunch of 40s on a stoop somewhere?
All right. Wait. This is a bonus story. We're going to put this in the extra bonus Patreon category.
I just
remember tricks a bunch of four.
That was a component of some story, and in my head, like that would follow very logically that you guys like made up at the on the stoop somewhere, but that could have been a different trip.
I mean, that could have been a different trip because I feel like we were only on this trip for two nights, and one was in Dartmouth and one was in New York. And I think there were 40s bought, and that we thought that was cool because you could buy a 40 at 3 a.m. But I don't know if that was a big part of it. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't remember a thing about the drive home after that. And that's probably just because this is the story that's been told. But I don't remember at all, like the next morning being right. Like, hey, man, right. How's it going?
Well, it's funny because piecing it back together now, you look at that picture, and that does not look like the picture of three guys that are just, you know, a guy who's about to hide the directions from us. Like right. That looks like a pretty happy trio.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That are ready to go drink some 40s and.
but if you showed that and it was like on the, you know, the True Life channel or whatever, and it's like, who would have known the man on the right would shoot the man in the middle 17 times in the head? You know, like,
right.
All right, they look pretty happy there. I don't know. It looks okay to me.
Good times. Wait. So okay. So. Tell me your version. Do you remember anything? Okay, what were the details that you remembered that I couldn't remember?
The only detail that I really object to was that I wasn't questioning whether these friends would stay together. I was expressing that I would be upset if our friend transferred to schools, like left UVA to then be with his girlfriend. I wasn't saying, oh, it'll never work out. I was saying, like, oh, it would suck if he left because, like, I enjoy hanging out with him on our day-to-day life in college.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
So if I were like trying to get my arms around this as a prosecutor, trying to get the story right with you guys, I would be like, I'd be pulling off my glasses, you know, and then like tapping them on the counter going, so you thought that it was because, so when you leaned in and mocked them and it would be like, objection, I'm like, I'll allow it. So what did you do, a sing-songy voice? Did you, how exactly did you, could you recreate that? Mr. Honor, Stoke,
I object to his characterization as it being in a neener voice.
I'm sorry, I did not. I withdraw the term neener. Please go ahead and create it in your own voice as you did it at the time, to the best of your knowledge, understanding that this is 23 years ago. And then I look deeply into the eyes of the jury foreman, and then you. Okay, so go ahead.
No, that's it. All adds up. I mean, I feel like
yes, but no, recreate it. What did you say?
Oh, I said, like, well, who are you to judge their love?
Wait, do that again.
Well, who are you to judge your love?
Instinctively, I slapped you in the face. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
In that moment, it wasn't earned, but it did seem like the whole trip went from, you know, from zero to, you know, slapping speed, like very quickly. Because, you know, there wasn't a lot of tension simmering, you know, like there was nothing beneath the surface right. That was like, you know, it wasn't like we had like been going after the same girl or, you know, I had forgotten to pick him up when I said I would from the airport. And he was steamed about that for the whole drive. It was just like, bros watching heroin visualization, then popping into Dartmouth and then getting slapped with it all in the span of 48 hours on the road.
Oh, man. Right. Which is why I'm shocked that the direction gate may not have taken place.
I think that's what pushed. I mean, that's the only thing that ratcheted it up. I think he just wanted to go to New York and I wanted to make this brief detour.
All right. So Richard, because we're obviously doing this on the day of the slap, and this is, you know, the slap too. I don't know. We'll name them either way, however it works. Having witnessed it, which slap would you judge? Like, what is the force of the slap, you know, compared to the Will Smith slap in your mind?
It was definitely not. I mean, the Will Smith slap was a pretty good connection.
It was pretty forceful. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely not that. It was definitely not that. If that's a 10, then I would say the Justin slap on Connor was a 6.
Okay.
But you never thought that the Justin slap was fake, you know?
Oh, right. It was
happened in real time in front of your eyes. You never had any reason to doubt it was a setup.
I suppose.
Yes. Okay. And it was, I mean, and it was forceful. It was not like a little tap. It was like there was some good content.
There was some good meat. There was a good slapping sound. Connor, would you judge it the same?
I think so. I mean, you know, it's bar for me. I mean, that's established. Like, that's, you know, all slaps are hereby judged better or worse than that from here on out. Unfortunately, I haven't had many opportunities to rank them, but.
And the bartender is like looking at you going like, that's his third Long Island iced tea. That slap was a 10. He's feeling it as a 6. Yeah. My job is done.
As soon as those guys walked in trying to conceal 40 bottles.
Yes.
I do. However, I gotta give the apology, I think, to Justin, because you couldn't script something that absurd and self-righteous, I think. You know, Will Smith's apology was very self-righteous and was a non-apology as well. But I'm sorry I tried to slap you after having slapped you, as like, you know, Richard Nixon mistakes were made type of.
I'm sorry I tried to slap you. Yeah. I shall leave the Oval Office in shame.
And then did you discuss it? Do you remember discussing it with him? Like, what was the next day like? Like, what did you say to him after?
Mike asked about that. And I don't know if there was ever a formal apology, if there was ever anything that was like, you know, years down the line, you know?
Because that's a 6-hour drive the next day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a distinct memory. And I who knows when that story first started circulating after that. But it was, I think, probably just getting dropped off and being like... See you when I see you.
See you later.
God. It's also, it's like the, you know, the second act of Godfather 2 or something, like, you know, remember when you slapped me, man? Like, are you still bringing that up? Like, you know, it could motivate an entire a lifetime of resentment. So it's pretty good that it's just sort of like, yeah, well, anyway, should we get a Slurpee now as we fill up?
Oh, well, man. I mean, I guess there's the possibility of reaching out to him. I've emailed him within the past 3 months. I could say, how do you remember this? But I don't know.
Well, that was my next question, if we're going to hear his version.
Yeah. Oh, we got to rush him on this thing. Come on.
Turn it into a serial. Yeah.
Was Peter there?
Was who?
Was Peter there at the table?
No. Peter was when we visited in Dartmouth.
And he didn't come with us that trip. Okay, because I remember him being there for some trip. But, okay, it wasn't that one. Yeah. Okay. Was Debbie Kaplan there?
Probably, but I don't.
All right, look, full names are starting to get.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. We'll black them out.
People getting disbarred over here.
Yes.
Right.
I suppose I could email Justin. That's a different.
I want to keep it going, guys. I want to see this thing through to the end. So if you get more friends involved, I'd be very happy about this. Right.
What about the people who were the subject of the disagreement? Like, are we going to get them involved?
Yeah, Alana Fire, whoever who we popped into Yale to
you
visit.
You mean
I was going to say the people in the room in the romantic relationship that you did, you know, that you did not continue.
Oh, if they even know that this was a thing that happened?
Right. Like, do they even know this happened?
And would they be happy that you did this? Could you do it again, please? Your taunt over the...
Who are you to question their love?
Yeah, they might be like, oh, that, what a gallant knight on a white horse defending our...
I will say that of everyone involved in the story, that those people were, and Richard were both at our wedding, and then Justin was unable to come. So even he was invited.
All right, yeah. The story deepens. All right, this is going to turn into the crime podcast of the year. Okay, we'll figure out eventually, and then the recreations. Mm-hmm. Richard, will you be available when we do the like lifetime recreations of the slap? You'll be available to like do the slow-mo, like sitting at the table. Okay, good.
I would love to take part.
All right, good. Okay. All right, fantastic. All right,
well, I'm going to stop recording.
Okay.